Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be diving into the Chicago White Sox as the Socky Sox head into Wrigley, take two from Cubby Blue in a random Tuesday-Wednesday two-game crosstown series. I don't know when it got to two games, so I guess we're splitting two in Wrigley, two at the south side. But nonetheless, two gritty wins. Sockies three in a row going into this weekend series with Boston. So lots to talk about with the Sockies trying to get back on track after that awful 2 week stretch, where I thought Tony was gonna lose a job. I thought maybe Tony Long Jacket might have gotten the boot, but he's still here. Boys are riding. And then we're also going to take it to, the hardwood as NBA playoffs, have reached the second round. Some insane second round matchups. A lot of different teams that I think they have the potential to win it all this year. It's pretty open. So who will win it all in the NBA? Who has the best chance? Who's some dark horses? We'll get into all that in a little bit. Let's get after it. So I want to talk some White Sox baseball. Before I do, though, Riddle Me That is brought to you by PointsBet. If you haven't heard on my podcast, risk-free bet. If you're a first-time user for PointsBet, so if you use this code YoungCS13, that's YoungCS13, you will get two risk-free bets, one standard bet, one points bet. Really good deal. You don't have to drive out to the PointsBet locations anymore, as of March. So there was a new ruling that if you want to sign up at home, you do it off your phone. It makes sense. I don't know why there was ever a rule in the first place, but it literally takes 2 seconds to sign up. It's legit. I think I'm up to eight signups now. So, you know, looking to keep it going for the foreseeable future. But sign up for points bet. I mean, why not? Why not make it a points bet? It's a good deal. Take it. I'm talking to you, Cole Nieder. This message is for you. But to baseball, to what matters, the Sockies currently coming off a 3-game winning streak to make themselves 11-13 on the season. On my last podcast, I'm pretty sure, you know, I might have had a Tony rant in there, but they were 6-2. Life was good. You know, honestly, that losing 10 out of 11 to the Guardians, the Twins, and the Royals hurt. But so early in the year. We're 24 games in. We split the series with the Angels, who are really good this year, and then swept Cubby Blue in a gritty, gritty outing at Wrigley Field. It doesn't get more sweaty than Cubby Blue, that's for sure. They're pesky. They don't stop. It's tough to play at Wrigley. The Sox found a way, winning 3-1 the first game and 4-3 the second game. First game, got to a 3-0 lead. Cubbies got to 3-1, had a chance, second and third, two outs. Also, the bases loaded at some point. Couldn't get it done. Sockies hold on. The second game, Sox get off to a first inning Jose Abreu bomb. Cubbies retake the lead 3-1. Sox battle back to tie it. Leary, legend with the home run at Wrigley. Classic Leary. You know, we're all shitting on him, but he gets it done. Sometimes he gets it done. And then Sox tacking on one more run off of A.J. Pollock. Single. That a boy Pollock finally doing something. And then, you know, Sox with a one-run lead go to the eighth inning. Of all people, Bummer. Our boy Bummer coming in. First and third, nobody out, gets taken out. Matt Foster to the rescue, another eighth inning appearance, back-to-back games for him getting it done. We can see a larger role coming for Foster coming in the near future. They were talking about how the managers, he wasn't in a game yet this season where the Sox had the lead. So, he has a great ERA, but it's always when they're down. So it's easier to pitch when you're losing with less pressure. So having to keep a lead, especially a 1 or 2 run lead in the late stages of the game, when your team needs a win, high pressure situations for Foster. Being able to get it done, huge, huge for the brand. Sockies getting out of that jam, winning the game 4-3. Huge 2 wins. We had to go on some sort of winning streak going into Boston this weekend. Boston struggling a little bit as well, but they have a good team. Their offense is going to pick up. Well, their offense, their offense is fine. It's really their pitching that's been kind of rough at times. They have a couple of good guys in Whitlock, and I forget the other guy's name, but he pitched early. So I don't even know if we'll have their couple best two starters pitching. I think we're going to go up against Eovaldi one game. We might go up against either Whitlock or one of their other guys. I don't remember what the other guy's name is. It's not in my tongue. But it's going to be questionable if the Sox is. We got Vinny Velasquez going on Friday, and then Keuchel on Saturday. Bombs away. I think it's an over weekend in Boston. I think it's going to be a lot of runs. It usually is when you go to Boston. But looking to at least get 2 out of 3 here would be really nice for the Sockies to try to get back to that 500 threshold. And then we got the Guardians again next week. Guardians at home. Going to be nice weather at the G spot. Got to win 2 out of 3 or sweep the Guardians. Revenge spot. Can get the Sockies over 500. Because then their schedule gets tough. We got the Yankees a couple times. It's no easy task right now for Sockies, but we're 2 under. We can see the light. We got to get past 2 at least 2 this weekend in Boston would be huge. But Sockies are back on track. I still don't understand what their lineups are sometimes. Tony's method now is get a guy that's struggling and put him in the heart of the order. I don't see how that helps him. I feel like if anything, it's going to demoralize the guy more. He's put in more offensive situations, but there's like. I don't want those guys there. I want the boys that have been hitting in the heart of the order. And so you give it to someone like Leary, who sucks, right, a lot of the time. Occasionally can be clutch. He should never be even coming close to the 3-hole. You leave him in the 8 or 9. You let him hit his way out of it. And that's where he's at. He shouldn't even be in the lineup. So now you take a guy that shouldn't even be playing. He's only playing because of injuries, essentially, at this point. And then you put him at the 3, and he didn't do anything in the 3. He walked a couple of times. I think he had a couple of nice, solid contact. But, Tony's lineup still confused me. Who's hot should be at top of the order, for the most part. Unless you're a scrub that's just, getting hot, then you stay where you're at. No point in messing things around, Tony. No point in messing anything around. So I want to talk some NBA playoffs. It's interesting, when you don't have a player like LeBron in his prime. The last like 10 years, the finals were pretty much predicted before, the playoff. It was pretty easy. And even when like Steph Curry was in like his dynasty form with KD, and you pretty much knew it was going to be like Warriors Cavs or some sort of Warriors matchup in the final, which is fine. And it was cool to see how far. I rooted for the Warriors. I was all for them. I was not for LeBron. So, it was cool. In LeBron era, it was like the Heat Spurs was a huge matchup. So it was cool to see Spurs get revenge against the Heat after they blew it the year before. So the Suns right now, are trying to win after losing in the finals last year to the Bucks. Suns were up 2-0 in that series. So they're definitely on a mission. And they're a team with unlimited weapons on the offensive side. They've been shooting over 50% in the playoffs. They're probably the favorite. They are the favorite, but they're definitely like the clear cut if you had to like put your money down, I feel like, on a team. But then on the other side, you have an East, man. You have a team like the Heat, who are up 2-0 right now in the Sixers. Granted, Joel Embiid has not been playing. He should be playing for game 3 and 4 with the orbital fracture. So they can make a series out of it.
And then you have the Boston and Milwaukee series. That seems like a Game 7 series to me. Either one of those teams could win it all, for sure. You know, I love the Mavericks, and they've been exciting this year, finally winning a playoff round with Luka. Might be one of the best scorers in the playoffs ever. So cool to see Luka, you know, perform at a high level. But, you know, the Mavericks need another piece. And they know that. So, and, you know, Brunson's been awesome. But, yeah, you need another big-time score for the Mavericks. And or, you know, some sort of, you know, not Porzingis, but some sort of dominant big guy. You know, that could, that's not Dwight Powell. They can match up with, like, a DeAndre Ayton. So Suns should beat the Mavericks in that series. It's been a fun year for the Mavericks. I do think Phoenix, you know, we'll see what happens in Dallas. But, you know, I think Phoenix will come out of that series and get to the Western Conference Finals. On the other side, the Warriors-Grizzlies. That's the series, you know, along with the Bucks-Celtics, that's like, I don't know who's coming out of that, but whoever comes out of that definitely can win it all. Ja Morant, you know, two great games, you know, not winning the first game, coming back and put up almost 50 the next game, 15-point run to end the game, personally, to carry the Grizzlies to a home win against the Warriors. Needed that win to stay in the series. So going back to Golden State, tied at one. Looking forward to that. That's, I don't know, you know, who I want to win that series. You know, it'd be cool to see Morant, I think, and the boys win, but at the same time, you know, Steph and the Warriors looking to make another run at the title. So going to be a fun end of the playoffs. We'll see who comes out of the second round alive.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My riddle's rant of the week. I'm taking it to the Warriors. I'm taking it to our man, Draymond. Draymond Green, someone that, you know, I respect his tenacity on the court. And he's, you know, he makes the team better for sure. He's like the best trash talker in the league. But, you know, it's hard. You know, I'm not root for Draymond. Like, I'm not getting a Draymond. Like, if you were in a Draymond jersey at a bar, it's like, come on. Like, I mean, I haven't seen that, but I would rock a, you know, D-Book to the bar. You know, that's something I rock, but not Draymond. But in his defense, one of the worst flagrant two calls I think I've ever seen on the court. In game one, yeah, he grabbed him by the jersey. He pulled on him, but he tried to help him up. If you watch the replay, he did. He did yank him and try to help his fall. When you're in midair and you're going against, you know, 2 7-foot guys going in the air. I mean, there's no way he's gonna stop Brandon Clark from scoring. It wasn't like he grabbed him by the neck. And yeah, it would have been different if he took his jersey and just threw him down and had no intentions. But like, you know, he was trying to help him up. You know, I think, you know, but that's what happens when you have a bad rep in the NBA. You tend not to get those calls. They, you know, they kind of make it seem like, well, they know what your intentions usually are. So I guess that shows, hey, you know what? If you're going to be an asshole, you're going to get, you know, asshole calls. But all, you know, all that ends well. Dylan Brooks now being suspended another game for the Grizzlies for his flagrant two on Gary Payton the other day, you know, right for the face. I mean, that's a flagrant two. There's no doubt about that. So it's kind of funny how it's almost like bad karma for the Grizzlies. I mean, you got to have Dylan Brooks on the floor for, you know, especially on a road game. He's a great leader on their squad. So huge loss if he's out. I think he is. I got an alert on the Sleeper app, also from Johnny News Network upstairs. He let me know before the segment, so I was able to figure out that Dylan Brooks is out. But end of the day, terrible call on Draymond. Free the man. Just listen to his podcast. That's actually hilarious.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 spot of the week. I'm taking it to the Riddle family, moving into their new place. Currently, just moved in to the new place in Elmhurst last week. I helped move a little bit the other week, some storage stuff. You know, help out the fam a little bit. But, you know, for those who didn't know, they sold their house in Elmhurst, moved across town actually knocked down my grandma's place, rebuilt the house, moved in with my grandma and my aunt. It's a compound, Playboy mansion, whatever you want to say. It's going down. But, you know, it's cool to see, you know, it's just like for me, since I live in the city now, it's just one of those things where usually it'd be kind of weird. You know, we sold our house. My parents have been living in an apartment in downtown Elmhurst for the, you know, this year. We had Thanksgiving, Christmas there. So nice little short-lived place. But, you know, they're moving across town, which is nice. It's not like they're moving to, like, Downers Grove or something, or, like, you know, out of the state. That'd be weird. You know, kind of leaving all of our memories from Elmhurst behind. So they're still going to live in Elmhurst until the end of days. So it's cool to see that they're making moves. Bill's making moves. Gotta have his own little music studio downstairs. I think he has, like, two music studios downstairs. He's probably not coming out of that basement. It's going to be a fun time. So come over to the Riddle household, grab some beers, grab some barbecue. We'll be getting after it. The bet of the week this week, I'm taking it to the Diamond. We're going Toronto Blue Jays, -1.5 at the Guardians tonight, +108. I think I actually got just moved to like +115. I've been taking 1.5s recently. I'm not the biggest 1.5 guy. It's not like I like taking him. It's just, you know, I don't want to take -155 on the Blue Jays. I just think that's not, you know, there's not a lot of value there. I think they're going to put up a lot of runs tonight. Going against Savali. It's Berrios against Savali. Savali's lit up like some of the most. His ERA is like 10. So hopefully, that, you know, that doesn't mean that it's due for a progression game. But Berrios has been dealing. He's really good against the Guardians. I think he, like three different guys in their team, like Kwan, Framil Reyes, and somebody else have like some of the worst whiff rates against Berrios. So I think Toronto, they just won 2-1 on the last game of the series against the Yankees, broke that winning streak up. I think they'll be feeling good about themselves. Expect a lot of bombs in Cleveland tonight. And you know what? Fuck the Guardians. The boys get it done tonight. Toronto Blue Jays, -1.5. Put your money where your mouth is. That's all the time we have today on the Real Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's going to be a weekend this weekend. NBA playoffs. There's no playoffs tonight. But back to the weekend, there's going to be every game, every round two series is going to partake this weekend. So strap it down. Watch some Sockies first against the Red Sox. Watch some NBA. It's going to be nicer this weekend. It's going to be a nice week next week. Let's get after it. I love you all. Real Daddy, he's got to go watch fantasy. He's out.